love that He showed me, and the grace and the mercy that He's extended to me over and over again in my life. And you know, there's too often times that I fail the Lord, and we're all flesh, and we all do. But I tell you tonight that I'm just going to have to feel my way through this and see exactly what the Lord wants out of me tonight. And, so anyways, we'll be in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke. We might flip over to another portion of Scripture. But in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, I'm just going to read one verse. If you want to turn there, you can. Be in the 54th verse, and it's familiar Scripture. We all know the history here of what's happened. Jesus has prayed off in the garden there, and He's getting ready to set before Pilate's judgment hall, and He's getting ready here before too long to go to the cross at Calvary, to be crucified, and to lay down His life for mine and your sin, and to go to die for me and you. But anyways, in the 54th verse, it says, "Then they took Him and led Him and brought Him into the high priest's house." And this is really the sentence that the Lord has laid upon my heart. And but it says, "And Peter followed afar off." Brother Casey, as I've been reading through this Scripture over the past few weeks, that sort of stuck with me about how Peter followed afar off. And I seemed to touch a little bit on it this morning and while I was preaching down there, but I got to wondering, and I know that I've preached on it and it ain't nothing new tonight, about really how far is too far. I'm thankful tonight that it didn't say that Peter followed 6 feet, because every one of us would go 5 3/4, and that's where we would set down our post at, and we would take our abode at, and we'd say, "Well, Peter went 6, so I'll go this far." But anyways, I just wonder how far is too far from the Lord. An inch is too far tonight if we get that far. We ought to be right there with Him all the time in our journey. I feel like I need to flip over to one more portion of Scripture. I didn't know that I'd go here. I touched on it a little bit this morning, but my heart's still pressed with it. In the 3rd chapter of the Song of Solomon, it says, "By night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broadways I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about in the city found me, to whom I said, 'Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth?' It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth, and I held Him and would not let Him go." And I feel like I just want to set the anchor down there for a little while about not letting Him go. Too far and too often, us as Christians in today's time, it seems like, as I've journeyed a little while in this now, Brother Robbie, that we seem to let go of the Lord whenever we ought to be holding on to Him, whenever we ought to just to take hold of what He's gave to us. Hey, I read there that it says, "To whom my soul loveth." I love Him tonight, and I'm thankful for the love that He showed me on Calvary's mountain for me and you, for the Jew and for the Gentile. I'm thankful for what He gives me. Oh, my soul loves Him tonight, friend, and I ain't gonna let Him go tonight and what He's given me. We can get too far from the Lord, you see. Oftentimes we will find ourselves what we'll call ourselves cold, Brother Casey. Seems like that we'll just get cold to the things of God, and we'll just get cold to the Lord, and we'll get cold to the house of God. We'll get cold whenever we ought to be on fire for the Lord and what He done for us and what He gave us. Back whenever He saved your soul, we ought to just hold on to it.
I've seen too many Christians over the past little while, and I ain't been in it very long. I didn't know this was the direction I was going to travel tonight. Y'all bear with me. But anyways, I've seen in just a little ways that I've walked in this life, ain't been saved. Come June, I'll be saved 5 years if the Lord allows time to go on in that long. But I've seen just in that 5 years of my walk with the Lord that too many Christians, old and young alike, have let go of the things of God. They've let go and they have forgotten what the Lord has done for them. They have forgotten where the Lord has brought them out from. And I realize that I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd tonight, and we're all here, I believe, underneath a good reason, and we've got down in us, and we've purposed it in our heart not to defile ourselves with the peace of the world's meat tonight. But I realize tonight, you say, "Preacher, who are you preaching to?" And if you're asking yourself that question, then I'm preaching to you, because one day after a while, you could find yourself starting to let go of the grip you've got with the Lord. I've touched it a lot of times about how too far from the Lord is too far. Well, if the Lord's standing right here and I take it a step this way, it's too far from the Lord. We ought to just lay a hold on Him and take a hold of Him and never let Him go. That portion of Scripture I read to you over there about a man named Peter. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Just a few scriptures on down, just a few verses down before the cock crew. He denied the Lord 3 times. I'm talking about a man that walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, seen the miracles that He performed in the flesh. He seen it in real time. He didn't have to read no story about it, but He seen it for Himself with His own 2 eyes. And that man named Peter denied the Lord 3 times before the cock crew. We all want to start lashing at Peter and talking about how Peter did this and Peter denied the Lord. But if we ain't careful, we'll find ourselves in that same position that Peter found himself in, denying the Lord and letting go and falling too far off. I believe Peter loved the Lord. And he said, the Lord asked him 3 times only later down. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Of course I do, Lord. You know I love thou." And the Lord said, "Feed my sheep, Peter. I feed my lambs. I feed my sheep." I do believe that Peter loved the Lord. But let me tell you something. If we're not careful, before we find ourselves, we need to make sure that we keep ourselves. And then I realize that the Lord keeps us. But we need to make sure that we're examining ourselves. Listen, the Bible says that a little leaven, the whole lump. And if we ain't careful, listen, you read over there whenever they was getting ready to go over to the Passover meal. The Lord told them, I believe it was, to go into their houses and find all the leaven in the house and to clean it out and to get it out. And we all know the picture of leaven in the Bible, how it's a picture of sin in our life. Let me tell you, if you let an inch, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. A little leaven, the whole lump. Thank you, Lord. It don't take very much before you've fallen afar off, before you've gotten too far out. You say, "Preacher, why ain't you preaching to the lost tonight?" I'll try to get there in a minute if I can, but I'm just trying to preach to God's people tonight. If you bear with me for a moment of time, because if we ain't careful, it could be 6 months, it could be a year, or it could be 10 years down the road. But if we let go of the Lord, if we let go of the things that He's given us, we'll find ourselves sitting in a church Sunday to Sunday, and it won't be worth the time of day. It'll be dead as a doornail, and it won't be even worth coming. You say, "Preacher, that's harsh to say." But if we ain't careful, that's where we'll find ourselves, is in a dead church. I'm thankful for an alive church tonight. A church that is living and breathing. The old mother church that has a new birth every once in a while. Oh, there ain't no blessing like seeing a new birth come out of an altar of an old, a good Bible-believing church. And I'm thankful for it. But if we ain't careful, If we don't set our heart and our mind and our eyes upon the one whom my soul loveth, I sure do love him tonight, Brother Robbie, and what he's given me. If we don't set our heart, if we don't purpose it down in our heart, I think it said over in the book of Daniel that Daniel had purposed it in his heart not to defile himself with the piece of the king's meat. Hey, that's how we ought to live. That's how we ought to strive to live. We ought to strive to live a holy life unto God. We ought to strive. Hey, we live in a day and age where this modern day Christianity, and I realize that I'm preaching to a good old Baptist church tonight, but if we ain't careful, we'll let it slip right through the doors too. But anyways, we've got to be so careful to make sure we're a watchman, to make sure that we're on the watch each and every day for the one that our soul loves. Because if we're not, it won't walk in through the back door. He'll walk right through the front door. He won't have to struggle to get in. Oh, she said there, it says, the watchmen that go about in the city found me. Oh, I'm thankful for the old mother church. Oh, that the gospel come through. Oh, where the gospel come through and it was preached unto my heart. I feel like I need to tell you a little bit about that, and I don't know why. Might be just because I ain't never been here. But the Lord's pressing on you to tell you a little bit of my testimony. I can tell you this. I was lost as a 7-year-old little boy down there at Maple Grove. I was about underneath the Amen, or right there at the Amen in the front row of Maple Grove Church, underneath the windowsill there. That's where I was bowed down at revival after my granddaddy died. And the Lord let me know that I was lost and separated, and that I was a sinner bound for hell, that I had no hope. I was 7-year-old then. I walked in that way, in that life, for 13 years up until I was a 20-year-old man. I defiled myself with the peace of the world. I tried everything that the world had to offer, but there was no hope. There was no peace in it. There was nothing good there, but thanks be unto God, he made a way for me. One Wednesday night, sitting down at Caney Fort, old Brother Travis Vaughn got to preaching. I couldn't tell you what all he was preaching on, but I know he mentioned hell a whole lot. And Lord, it seemed like the Lord sat down with me, sitting right there in the second pew, and I made my way to that altar. Long about the second verse, do you know how it feels? I knew exactly how it felt. I'd found the one who I'd been seeking after. I'd found the peace. I'd found the lily of the valley and the bright morning star. I'd found the one whom my soul loves. I took a hold of him that night, and I've got no plan of letting go. Do you? It's worth something. It's worth hanging on to tonight, Brother Casey. Oh, it's worth hanging on to. If we ain't careful, we'll find ourselves sitting around going, well, I've heard it made tonight, the statement made tonight. And I listen, I understand it. I understand that statement. I've even said it myself. Each and every one of us is all guilty of saying, well, it was just the good old days. Hey, but the Lord ain't come back yet. There's still a work to do. There's still some good days to have, and we ought to serve him with every ounce of our being. And if we ain't careful, we'll find ourselves quick to let go, and we'll find ourselves just stepping off a little bit. I begin to wonder over the past a couple years since the Lord's called me into the ministry. And me and my wife, we've been fortunate to travel a little while now, and go different places, and a lot of places you walk in, and it seems just as cold as an ice chest. It seems like there ain't no liberty. You can't get nowhere. It seems like you're just paddling in mud, so to speak, and that you can't really, you leave and you feel like you ain't done no good. It seems like don't nobody even want to hear no preaching. It seems like they just show up in the parking lot to say they went to church on Sunday. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? Over and over and over again. over the past year or so, I've looked out and I've realized that a lot of churches, used to be good churches. They get the name of a boy that used to really be a powerhouse, a boy that used to really be a praying church. But I begin to wonder what happened. All it takes is one generation, one person to say, hey, maybe this won't hurt a little bit. Maybe it won't hurt to let a little bit slide. But like I've already told you, a little leaven left the whole lump. And if we ain't careful, it'll take over the whole place before we realize it. Over and over and over again the past year or so we've gone into churches. And like I told you, it felt like you'd been better off just to stay at the house. Even though you went and did what the Lord told you to go do, it seems like you'd been better off just to stay at the house. You begin to wonder what's happened. Well, I can tell you exactly what happened. Somebody down the line, whether it was somebody sitting there in the church house those days, or whether or not it was somebody that done got out, or whether or not it was a pastor that used to fill that pulpit, or whatever it might be. But somebody let go of the Lord just a little bit, and they begin to take a step. You see, once you get a step in between you and the Lord, then somebody can come between you. Then the old devil will find a way in there. You let that much get between you and the Lord, and sure enough, before you realize it, here comes that old slew-foot devil. He'll be sneaking right up in there. He's a smooth talker. He's good and easy on the ears. He can give an image like no other. And if we ain't careful, those things that look good and those things that seem good and those things that seem like they're all right, but they've been placed there by the devil, before you realize it, you've let go of the Lord down yonder and you've done followed afar off. You've done got afar off. You see there it said that Peter followed afar off and that he'd done gotten over, but it also said that he sat down amongst them. He sat down with them just like we do from Sunday to Sunday and Wednesday to Wednesday. We come in, we sit down, and we look good, and we've got on our suit and tie, and we've got on our good Baptist jacket, and we look good and all that, and we find a way, and we look good. But yet, does the rest of everybody else there know that we're following afar off? We're still following the Lord. But how far are you from the Lord? How long have you gone without sitting and talking with the Lord? How long have you been without getting into your prayer closet? I found out here recently, Brother Casey, that if you go a day without talking to the Lord, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Hey, I'm flesh just like the rest of you. And things, if you ain't careful, things will begin to get in your way. The devil will try to get your schedule so busy to where it don't even seem like you've got time to get into the old prayer closet and talk to the Lord. But if you fall just that little bit before you realize it, you'll be way over yonder. And you won't have no relationship with the Lord. I do believe you still be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. But I do believe that we can fall out of the fellowship with the Father. And that we can fall out by not serving Him. And that we can fall afar off. Like your Lord. My soul loves Him this night, and my soul loves Him so dearly, Brother Casey. What He's given me is more, and what He's given you is more than the world could ever give you. A lost sinner, if you're here tonight, I want you to realize, I've preached to the church for just a little while. I'm going to try to follow the Lord here, Brother Casey. But anyways, you say, where are you going with this, preacher? Bear with me for just a moment of time. A lost sinner, you see there, it said that she sought Him by night. And she sought out in the streets, and they went this way and that way. And whenever the watchmen that go about in the city found them, thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for the old watchmen, the old church that gave me a place to hear the gospel preach. But anyways, lost sinner, you see there was a desire there to seek the Lord, to seek the one whom her soul loveth, to seek the one who could give help. There was a desire there to reach out and find some help. If there's no desire there, what is there? I'm thankful for the desire that the Lord gave me the night as I was a 20-year-old man. That desire, I was sitting there in the second seat. And He gave me that desire to seek Him out. It is a seeking way I'm thankful for it that you got to see. The Bible says it like this, and I believe it's in the second chapter of the book of Philippians. It says, but to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not talking about that you can get saved by doing any work tonight. I'm not saying that you can buy your salvation or that you can do anything of this carnal body to buy your way into heaven. That's not the way it works tonight. But you're going to have to fall around before a thrice holy God in fear and in trembling. The Bible says it like this, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, you're going to have to seek Him out, or you'll never find the one who can show you what love is. It's a loving way. I said it this morning like this. Husbands and wives, if you're here and you're an adult and you're lost and you don't know the love of the Lord and you're married, you can't really love your spouse or your helpmate like you ought to love them tonight. If you're a child here tonight, you might lay down in bed and tell your mama and daddy of the night that you love them, and you might tell them on the way to school the next morning that you love them, but I'm here to tell you that you cannot love your family, you cannot love your brother or your sister or your mama or daddy like you ought to until you've known the love of God, for God is love tonight. That's what the Bible says that He is love. Boy, if you get to thinking about the love of the Lord, what He's done for us, the world will try to say it like this, that they killed Him. That they killed Him up there on Calvary's mountain. But the way that I read it, He laid down His life for you and I. He laid it down. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that He gave. I'm thankful that He gave Him to us tonight, Brother Casey. He didn't sell Him to us. He didn't just pitch Him to us. He didn't just say, well, if you do this, then you can have Him. We'll trade Him out. But no, it says that God so loved the world that He gave. He gave Him. He gave Him. He gave Him to us. It's a free pardon of sin. But you're going to have to come the old knee route way. You can't walk up here and shake my hand or this brother's hand or any of the other brother's hands. It ain't going to work like that. I can't pray the prayer that's going to save you. But you're going to have to seek out the Lord if you're ever going to be saved. With fear and with trembling. With a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Well, the Bible says, I didn't realize that I'd get on down this, but the Lord's let my eye catch it. It says, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense? Oh, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ that come up out of the wilderness. I'm thankful for that sweet myrrh and that sweet frankincense, that sweet smell and that sweet savor that He's got. Oh, the love that He showed me and the love that He showed the whole world. A sinner friend tonight, He sure does love you tonight, but He hate your sin that you're in. I'm thankful for it. My soul loves Him tonight, Brother Casey. And as I begin to study on this and begin to read this out, and I throw my marker over there, I guess it's been a little over a week ago or so. Lord, let me mark that there in Luke about Peter followed afar off. And oftentimes I realize, and I'm about done, you say, preacher, that's a weak effort. I'm just giving you what the Lord's given me, and that's all I can do tonight. But anyways, the Bible said that Peter followed afar off. When oftentimes what we say is we'll start to beat Peter over the head, so to speak. Or we'll start to say, well, I sure would never do that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do what Peter did. And I realize that I'm wrapping back around to where I was at the beginning of this. But what we need to realize is what kind of man that Peter was. Where Peter come out of. What all Peter had seen done. What all Peter had walked with the Lord in the flesh. He had walked with Him here on this side of eternity. He had walked with Him step for step and seen the miracles that the Lord had done, and Peter still denied Him. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves not holding to the Lord. We'll find ourselves following afar off, just enough to where we can say, And you say, Peter did this or Peter did that. Yes, but Peter was still, I'd like to say this, Peter was still more of a Christian than what I'll ever be. Peter was still more of a man than what I'll ever be. And Peter still denied him. Peter still had fault. He was still flesh. We've all got fault tonight. We've all got sin in our life. I told you a little leaveth leaven the whole lump, and that we ought to clean out the house. We ought to clean out the vessel. We ought to take inventory every once in a while about what's going on in our life. Because if we're not careful, that little bit of leaveth will leaveth into a whole lump, and you'll find yourself out. You'll find yourself out of church, and you'll find yourself putting other things in front of the Lord. You'll find yourself putting your little God up in the same position that the big G God ought to be. I read about over there, I believe it's in Kings, about the little fish god Dagon. The Philistines had taken a hold and they had gotten the Ark of the Covenant and they had taken it into their possession, and they set it there in the same temple as Dagon, which would be the fish god. I don't know what all that entails. I ain't studied him out too much. I don't really care about him, but I know that they set the Ark of the Covenant at the same position of that Dagon, of their little G God. And you know what happened the next morning? They walked in and Dagon had been flipped off his pedestal. They set him back up, put him back where they thought that he belonged. They walked in the next time and Dagon had been tossed off of his pedestal again and broken into pieces, and they went ahead and got rid of the Ark of the Covenant. And I realize that's a little bit of a paraphrasing tonight, and but that's over. I believe it's in the 2 Kings. If you want to flip over there and read about all of that. But anyways, you know what happened? They put the big G God in the same position of their little G God, and it sure wasn't a blessing to them. Too many times, I feel like even us, we do that. If it's anything, you say, preacher, I ain't got no little G God. Listen, if you put anything in front of God, the God of heaven, the thrice holy one, if you put anything in front of Him, listen, you've got a little G God that you think is more important than Him. I've said it like this before. I used to, on Sunday mornings, listen, I love to deer hunt. I love to fish and all that stuff. And I used to take my time, and we would get out of church, and I'd get my bow and my climbing stand, and I'd go try to find a spot to hunt. And the Lord just come to me sitting there in that stand one day along about 2 o'clock, just whenever things were starting to get to be right in the woods. And I just got in there and everything had settled down. I was sitting there and the Lord come to me. Hey, my people couldn't gather up manna on Sunday. Why are you sitting here enjoying yourself like this and taking a part of your hobby? That's all it is. Why are you sitting here on a Sunday whenever you've got work to do for me? You know what I'd done? I'd put a little G God in front of the big G God. And I found out it wasn't going to work like that, Brother Casey. Well, you know what I don't do no more? I don't hunt on Sundays. That's the Lord's day. And there's a work to do for Him. If we ain't in church, I ought to be studying His Word. If I ain't studying His Word, I ought to be telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us ought to. Oftentimes, we'll look forward to Sunday for the wrong reason. We'll look forward to Sunday because we get to go to church and we get to see our friends and family and fellowship with our loved ones for a little while. And that's all good and fine and dandy. And then after that, we'll get to go out to a restaurant. We'll get to spend time in that way. We'll be spending our money in a restaurant on Sunday. Hey, I ain't just preaching to you tonight. I'm preaching to myself. But if we ain't careful, we'll begin to find ourselves over and over and over again letting go and taking hold of something else. The Bible says it like this, that you cannot serve too much. You'll serve, you'll either love one and hate the other, or you'll cleave to one and despise the other. And I think that's paraphrasing a little bit. I know that's not exactly right. But what we need to realize tonight, that if we let go and we take one step, and I realize, thank you, Lord, I ain't never thought of it like this. If I took one step from the Lord this way, old Brother Casey over there, who wouldn't be able to tell it a bit. Oh, Brother Casey would still think that I'm standing right with the Lord. I could take a little bit of another step. Oh, Brother Casey would still think that I'm still right there. The perspective of him would be a little bit different than what's actually going on. And little by little, I would inch my way over and inch my way this way and inch my way a little bit more. And before I realized it, I'd be following the Lord afar off. Whenever we follow the Lord afar off, we find ourselves in dangerous ground. You'll find yourself in dangerous ground. Listen, if we ain't real careful, we'll find ourselves in a place that we really don't want to be. We'll find ourselves where Peter found himself, denying the Lord. You say, I would never do that. Don't say that. Don't say that you would never do that. Peter sure did it, and Peter said that he wouldn't do it. And you know what he did? He did it. And I believe that Peter loved the Lord with all of his heart. And he still fell afar off. It's better off. We're all better off tonight if we'll just cleave to the Lord. If we'll just hold on to Him with every ounce in our body. If we'll just hold on. I've seen it over and over. That's where I was trying to get to a while ago. I've seen it over and over. Just in a little time that I've been in the ministry, Fairview, I've seen a little bit. Not a whole lot, not near as much as these other brothers have. But like today, I walked into a church that I preached in just a little over a year ago. And they had grown some. They've had a good growth in numbers and a good growth in spirit. And the Lord's really blessed them there. But as I looked out over the crowd, I began to realize that a few that was sitting there last year wasn't sitting there this morning. And I begin to wonder what's happened. They let go. They let go just a little bit. They begin to take a step. They begin to take a step this way. You see, a Christian, I told you that we can't serve two masters. You'll either serve the Lord or you'll serve the world. You'll either serve this master or that master. You'll either serve yourself or you'll serve the Lord. You've got to serve the Lord. Over and over and over again, we see through the Bible about how Israel fell, about how they would get real close to the Lord, and then they would fall off, and they'd face the Lord's judgment, and they would have to go through a hard time, and they would wind up out here, and they'd wind up out of fellowship. But over and over and over again, it seems like Israel was mountaintop and valleys. A mountaintop and valleys. You know what they was doing? They was letting go. We can't let go this night. Oh, we can't let go ever. Oh, we've got to hold on to the Lord. Because what we need to realize is that if we let go of Him and we take hold to something over here, sin will take us farther than what we ever imagined. It'll take you on out in the world farther than what you ever planned to go. You might say, well, I've got full control on it. Hey, thank you, Lord. I didn't know that I'd go this far. I told you I was lost for 13 years. And I really don't like telling all of my testimony. And you say, why is that, preacher? I've got a lot to be ashamed of in it. I've got a lot that I traveled out and did. And I'm going to try not to get into it all tonight, Brother Casey. I really, myself, I don't want to, but it seems like that the Lord keeps pressing on me and pressing on me. For 13 years, I walked in this life as a lost boy and a lost man. I walked from the time that I was 7 until the time that I was 20. Oh, thank you, Lord. I didn't want to go here, but I'm going to have to. By the time I was 14, I'd been introduced into the drug of methamphetamine and alcohol, and before I realized that, I'd found myself way out yonder in a ditch. The whole time I was telling myself, Brother Casey, I've got a hold on this. I come from a good family. I've got a good family, and grandma and grandpa taught me the right way. I've got a hold on this. And before I realized it, I'd gone from 14 to 19, and I was still walking in that same old mess. Little leaveth the whole lump. You say you was lost during that. Yes, I realize that. I was lost as could be. But what had happened was just a little bit took a hold of it. And it took me all the way farther than what I had ever planned. Tonight, that can happen to us, Christian. We might entertain it for just a little while. But I got to thinking about, I talked about it a little bit this morning. It seemed like this morning's message is run right parallel with tonight, but that's what's been on my heart now for a couple of weeks, seemed like. But anyways, I was talking this morning, me and my wife, we was headed over to Freedom Missionary Baptist Church up there at Mount Hermon here just a couple of weeks ago. And as we crossed over the lake on Beaulieu Town Road there at Browns Ford, I looked at my wife and I said, "Won't you look at that?" And she said, "What's that?" I said, "That lake bottom out there is just like the world." She said, "What are you talking about, preacher?" I said, "It's just this time of year. I don't know how much time y'all spend on the lake or the river, but I sure do love being out there. And this time of the year, them lake bottoms and mud flats, they'll begin to sprout up, just greenery all over them, and they'll just be looking as pretty as can be back up in them hollers and back where those spring branches run through them. They'll be just as pretty. They'll have just the brightest green glow to them, and they'll look like you can just walk out there, lie down, and it looks like a good pasture. But what you don't realize is that underneath that beautiful image that there is, that beautiful grass, and that it looks just like the most manicured lawn. But what you don't realize that about the first three or four steps you take, you sink up to about your ankles. You get on out there a little bit and you'll wind up at your knees. You keep going, you'll wind up a little bit further and you won't be able to get out of it by yourself. That's just like the world is. That's just like sin is. If we entertain a little bit of it and we keep on taking a step from the Lord, we'll find ourselves out there to where we can't get ourselves no help, or we can't pull ourselves out by the bootstrap, or we can't get up and go. But what we'll have to realize is that the world wants us to take a hold on that. And before we realize it, we'll be right out yonder in the middle of them with the rest of the world, and we'll be stuck. And it's a hard way back. It sure is. I was telling them, "Oh, thank you, Lord." Me and my buddy, we went fishing here a while back. We like to go this time of year. The crappie's biting pretty good, or the hybrid might get to running, and we'll try to find, we'll try to get a spot on the river to go try to catch a fish or two. Here a while back, it was a cold day, and we was walking up that old river bank there in the lake bottom, and before you realized it, Brother Casey, I was done sunk up past my muck boots in that mud, and my old buddy, he had to holler for him, and he began to run over there and help me out of that steep. Y'all know how the lake bottom is, just sticky old mud, won't let go of you for nothing. But there just happened to be, thank you, Lord, just a little bitty old rock sitting there. He stepped up on that rock, he grabbed me by the hand, and he was able to pull me just enough to where I can get just enough traction to step up on that rock. Hey, let me tell you something tonight, a lost sinner. There's a rock out there. Jesus said it like this. He said that he would build his church upon it, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. There's a better way out there than what the world's got for you. It might look like a good old green lake bottom. It might look like a good place to walk for a little while. Hey, I ain't going to stand here, and I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I was to tell you that there ain't pleasure in sin. There is pleasure in sin, but it'll only be for a season. It'll only last just a little while. Your season might be a little longer or might be a little shorter than some, but I want to tell you tonight that sin will take you farther than what you ever thought that it would. You'll wind up stuck. That's what you'll wind up. Even us as Christians tonight, if we're not careful and we let go, we had just better take a hold of the Savior, or we had just better take a hold of the one whom my soul loveth. Oh, we had better just take a hold of the Redeemer. Oh, we had better just take hold of the Lamb of God. Oh, we had better just take hold of that rose of Sharon. Oh, we better just take hold of the lily of the valley. Oh, we better just take hold of that beautiful morning star. Oh, we had better just take hold of that one that came through the womb of a virgin 2,000 years ago and died upon Calvary's mountain for you and I. We better take hold, not let go, because if we let go, what's going to happen is a generation later, our children will be out. There will be no hope. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? It don't take very long for the doors of the church to have to shut. And I realize that I don't believe a church has ever gone out of existence. But if we ain't careful, it could happen tomorrow that the doors of Fairview Memorial Baptist Church have to lock them up because there ain't nobody else coming. You say, listen, that's real tonight. I ain't just going to preach to y'all, but I have to crowd Cedar Cross here. If we ain't careful, tomorrow we'll have to close the doors of Cedar Cross because ain't nobody coming. It's me and it's you that's in this thing tonight. And we had better take a hold of it. And we had better not let go of the Lord tonight. Because if we let go, we'll fall afar off. And we won't look back. And before we realize it, we'll be standing out in the middle of the world. And we'll look back in a cloud of haze. And there won't be nothing there. And you'll say, Lord, where did you go? The whole time it was you walking away from the Lord. It's a hard way back. If you ever let go and you fall afar off, say just a few verses later over there in the end of the book, sitting around the fire, the Lord asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. He asked him that 3 times. I believe that was the Lord reaching back out to Peter, saying, Peter, come on. I'm thankful that he's good and he's faithful tonight. And that over and over again, listen, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm perfect tonight. I'm not. But there's been times, even since I've been in the ministry, where I've been as cold as a lettuce wedge, that I've just been as cold as anything, and that it seemed like I wasn't able to get nowhere, and that I wasn't able to get the hope to God. I didn't have no liberty, and I began to look around. I began to search out the house, Brother Casey. I began to look around for the 11th and where it was. I began to look around where it all boiled up at, and I began to clean out and do some cleaning, and the Lord was right there the whole time saying, I've been where you left off at. He ain't never forsaken me. He won't never forsake you. He's a good and he's a faithful God. He's a good master tonight. I'm glad to serve him. He's my master tonight. He's a good paymaster. And he sure has been good to me. Brother, I'm done. Get you a song. I wonder tonight if there's any of us that have let go and that we might just need to come get on an old altar and go back to where we laid our cross down and we left off with the Lord. You know, that's oftentimes what I've had to do. I've just had to put myself down. John 3:30 says it like this, that we must decrease and he'll get the increase. And that's paraphrasing a little bit, but we've got to humble ourselves down. We've got to just take hold of the one whom we love and the one who loves us tonight. Brother, go ahead with your song. That's all I've got tonight, church. It feels like a weak effort, but that's what the